You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre. Today's episode is with Eliza Shaddad. 2018 has been a strong year for music, and there's no better evidence than the songs Eliza has released this year. It's all leading up to her long-awaited debut album, Futures, which is out on October 26. The songs we've heard remind us how personal songwriting could be, how a song could hit you so squarely close to home. I got to chat with Eliza a while back and delve into not just her songwriting, but also how the experiences she's had has changed her and has shaped her life and, as you know, made her into the person that she is today. This is the 405 Exchange of Eliza Shaddad. Enjoy. So I wanted to start this talk a bit differently and ask something that I usually ask at the end of these talks. Like, something I really wanted to ask you was, what was it like for you to listen back to your album for the first time?
Honestly, painful.
Really?
But it's maybe you're asking, having had a break from it, what was it like to listen to it for the first time?
No, I mean more like the actual moment. Like, if you could describe what it was like.
Well, the first time I listened to it through, in its final mastered state, I decided that we had mastered the wrong mix of one of the tracks. So it was a thwarted process. And we went back and remastered, and then I guess I listened through to it, and I mostly felt incredible relief. Like, thank God, it's okay. I can sign off on this. Honestly, like, get me away from it. I went so deep into this album that it's only now, having had a few months away from it, post mixing and mastering, that I can listen to it and be like, feel different things.
That's really beautiful. Like, and how long ago is that? Like, when was, like, the last day when you were like,
I think it was finally mastered in March.
Wow.
So, like, having gone back and, you know, I mean, this is my fault, having gone back and changed stuff. March.
God, how mental is it so much time has passed since?
To be honest, it feels like a blink, but also, yeah, really nice to have had some space from it.
No, I hear that. You know, another question I usually ask around the end is that, like, about the live shows, that element of that, but I really want to ask you about that now, because I know you've been playing a few live shows since having these new songs, and I wonder how that's been for you.
I've loved it, to be honest. The songs, it's very rare that I haven't played them live before they go into the studio. And so playing them live feels, it's interesting to, like, know how they feel, use that to inform the demos, and then record them in the studio, and then bring them out again and take them to my live band and almost reinterpret them for, like, a third time. It's really nice. To me, at least, it just feels like they get stronger and stronger, because each time you change the lineup and the way that you perform them, you kind of realize more what the core parts of the song are that you need to get across. And yeah, it's really, like, educational and useful and fun.
I love that. That's fucking what's a city or, like, what's a venue that you feel like you really nailed it? Like, has there been a show recently where you were just like, it felt better than all the others? Has that happened recently at all?
There have been a bunch. Yeah. We did a really special, like, album preview playthrough show a few months ago. And I really wanted, we'd kind of had I knew the album wasn't going to come out for ages, but I'd just been sitting on these songs and I really wanted to feel them and feel them live again, kind of to keep me going until we finally have like the album release date and the album launch show. And I knew that was 6 months away. So I decided we were going to do like a playthrough, like a preview show. And there were four of us for the first time. There's normally three of us, but I got this lovely guitarist involved. And we just played the album from start to finish. And it was so exciting and just sounded really good to me. And it felt like magic.
That must have felt like magic, because like it's one thing to hear it mixed and mastered and hear it in that context, but to hear it like side by side to the song side by side in a live setting, like you literally are feeling how it correlates to one another. That must have been really amazing.
It was great. It was really like affirming, luckily.
Yeah. I really want to ask you about the songs you've released this year so far, and starting off with my favorite, White Lines. I'd love to hear the story behind that one.
So White Lines started on a trip to Australia. I went there for a month and I spent a lot of that trip alone. I borrowed a friend's station wagon and I drove up the East Coast, sleeping in the car on the beach, and I took a guitar and I was learning to surf, and I just had this amazing experience basically of like solitude, which I hadn't had in years, and it was so welcome and like so replenishing that I kind of realized while I was out there that I wanted to be alone. I wanted to be on my own, and that song is basically about realizing that and knowing how much hurt and pain it's going to cause when you come home, but knowing that it's something that you've got to do.
Yeah, because it's interesting you say that, because there's almost this element of like longing but also contemplation in the way you're singing the song, if that makes any sense.
It's really like it was basically I was just driving around for hours, really long stretches of country, doing nothing but just thinking, and it was really like meditative journey. And I always find that like you have deep conversations in the car, especially with like family and stuff, because you're both just looking ahead. You don't really need to make eye contact. You've got loads of time where you're not really doing anything. And it always tends to be this situation where like introspection is easier. And that's what I found on this journey. And I think it translates into the lyrics and the vibe of the whole thing. It's just like you're cruising along and you're thinking stuff and you're making all these like enormous realizations, but it's all quite, it's just like obvious and simple and relaxed almost.
Yeah. And this almost feels so silly to ask, but like, is there almost an element when you're in a situation like that? Yeah. Like the one you were in where you're driving on the countryside and just thinking, is there almost an element of surrender like to your thoughts? Because it's interesting how a situation like that, where you could be with your thoughts for such a long period of time, is almost like a rare thing to be able to do nowadays. You know what I mean?
Yeah, increasingly rare. I guess you don't need to control them. You don't need to, you're not like thinking about thinking. You do just surrender to like almost like mindlessness. You're not thinking about anything. And for me, that's how it was. I was just, you know, concentrating on the road, and suddenly a thought would literally spring unbidden into my mind and it'd be like, oh cool, you're really unhappy, yeah, you should probably change your life. Oh yeah, cool.
I definitely am going to ask you about some other songs, but before I do, like one of the big things I really needed to ask you about White Lines was how did it feel to get that bass line right? Like, and did
so that bass line was played by Chris Bond, the fantastic producer of this record, and he's primarily a bass player actually, and he learnt drums as like a secondary instrument, which he's incredible as well, and the guitar. He basically plays everything, but bass is his absolute forte, and there was a bass line on the demo, which I had written, which was very similar, and lasted the whole track long, and similar like rhythm and stuff. But I think on the actual day, he slightly misheard it and was playing something that just sounded better. And it was, I think, grueling to play it the whole way through. And whenever we play it live, it's one that takes some time to get right. But yeah, he just made, and like, there's this bit where it drops to D and it's beautiful. It's a very good bass part. I'm very happy with it. And it was a beautiful, kind of resulted from a beautiful mistake.
Those are the best types of mistakes. And I really dug the music video as well. How did that one come together for what?
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. Yes. It was an idea that me and my manager had, I guess. I've got these two amazing cousins, and a sister as well, who sadly couldn't be in it. And we thought it would be so fun to do something that involved my family, because they're a big part of my life. And we had this like fun idea of us all looking kind of the same and doing it in a studio setting, and like just having some fun with that sort of scenario and look. And luckily they were up for it. And we just spent a day with director Joe McRae, and and the result is what you see.
That's bloody beautiful. And you know, My Body has a similar vibe to Wet Lines, but it's a bit more airy, that track. And I wonder, how closely were those tunes written within the same amount of time? Like, how many days apart or weeks apart were they written?
Interesting. I think they were probably written maybe 3 or 4 months apart, you know?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, they almost feel like cousins. Like,
The actual like main guitar riff for Body was written in a sound check on our first European tour, and that came at least 2 or 3 months after White Lines was started. But White Lines was finished earlier than My Body as well. Like, I kind of started them, and they develop over, sometimes they come out at once, but those two developed over quite a long time, actually.
Wow, that's really interesting. And I wonder, like, in regards to My Body, is this one of those tracks that you felt like was a bit of a turning point for you, creatively speaking? Like, it feels like there was a shift within you listening to that song. As a listener, anyway, that's kind of like the feeling I got with it.
I think, to me, My Body felt really, like, solid. I don't see it so much as a shift into a new direction, more just like it actually, it kind of took everything, all these like grunge influences and the way that I was feeling and the kind of like drums and guitars that I really wanted to get into the record, and it pinned everything down to a particular sound. And that was really useful for the whole record, because it was a good like foundation point from which to reference a lot of other stuff. I don't know about a turning point, but more of a cementing point.
I like that, a fermenting point. Do you know, tell me this, because like, there's definitely loads more I want to ask you about specifically, but just to diverge a little bit, it's like, because I've been familiar with your music for a bit now, and like hearing these songs you've released and having an idea of what the album's probably going to sound like, it does feel like throughout your career you've been trying to figure out what is your sound is and like what works best for you. And like, do you feel like you're at that point now? I mean, obviously you're always going to be evolving as an artist, but like, it feels like you really hit something that's very specific to you with these songs you've released so far.
Good. To be honest, it always feels like I'm not searching so much as just experimenting. I think that to me, this record feels like a real variety of sounds and influences. But I think that not so much in the songwriting or the demoing or the production, but especially when we get to mixing nowadays, I feel like that is where everything kind of finds its ground across all these different tracks. So for this record, I worked with a guy called Adam Jaffrey on mixing, and it's just really good. He did a really great job, I think, of helping tie everything together into exactly that, into like a recognizable and really like easy to pinpoint sound.
Yeah, I get that. And it's like, I mean, I've only heard the songs you released so far, but like, it does all feel like everything relates to a body of work. And like, obviously it's like your album, and it's like, fuck, what does it feel like knowing that you have an album? I mean, it's
You know, it felt really good to announce a release date. That kind of seemed to make it more real. bizarre. Honestly, bizarre. Like, it doesn't feel how I thought it would. I think because I just had no conception of how hard it was going to be, and like how much it would require. So I still feel quite angry with it sometimes as a body of work, because it was so heartbreaking to make in so many different ways. But there's definitely an element of pride. Like I feel like it's strong. I feel like I have achieved a lot of what I set out to do. And I think ultimately it tells the story that I needed to tell, and that's okay for now.
When you say that, though, like the story you needed to tell, do you feel like that's an element you only know like after the fact within hindsight, or do you feel like you were aware of it while making the album? Like, is that even possible?
I think as you're making it, like, you can see the similarity between the kind of concepts within the songs, and because it's based on a particular time in my life, there's, you know, you can see that there's a relation between the ideas. But it was really only on looking back when I started to think about, I mean, when I was asked actually to talk about it, to write about it for press and that sort of thing, that I was kind of looking at it and going, oh, okay, well, obviously. And when I was trying to choose the title, actually, it's like, okay, well, what joins it all together? How, you know, what's it all about, really? And it just became really clear, okay, this whole record is about this, about moving on. It's about, exactly, it's about looking into the future.
That's mega. I really wanted to ask about, obviously, your latest tune, This Is My Cue, and fuck. Like, it's like that song, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of people say this already, but like that song just hits you so squarely in the chest. And I feel like anyone who's ever been through a breakup, whether they've been the person who's been dumped or the person who did the breaking up, can relate to that track. Like, tell me, was this a song you found yourself thinking twice about in terms of how much of yourself you wanted to put out there? Because even though you don't name names or say anything like hyper specific, it is like a very specific type of situation you're conveying.
It is. It is very specific, but you know what? I feel like I've been very specific before. So I've had that conversation with myself already. And I've decided that, yep, I'm gonna say it. and I mean there's an element of songwriting where, for me at least, where it's all based on reality and personal experience, and then there's another element where, you know, sometimes you add different things from, you know, different relationships, different situations, and they all kind of come together in one song. So sometimes I wonder, for example, for people listening to it, you know, do they think it's about one exact thing? Is it, you know, exactly what happened in this one instance, or is it like a kind of blending of different situations? Or I mean, I think this is one exact situation, but at least personally, that's happened to me over and over again. So I don't feel like it's tied to one person, and I didn't worry in that sense about them hearing it, although I probably should. I'm glad that you feel that way about it, and I hope that lots of people relate to it, because I'm pretty sure that's what a lot of people feel when it gets to the end of something.
I mean, it's a very weird thing when you think about breakups specifically in that regard, because, you know, I feel like when I think about my own life, like my own adult life, and just even like close friends of mine, I don't, you know, it's funny, like you watch movies and TV shows, yeah, and it's like a situation happens and people break up. But in real life, it's actually very rare for people to just break up. It's usually a fallout of like days, sometimes even weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what always really like kills me, is that you think it should be, you know, it should be clean. you should just like come to this decision early and make the decision, and then there you go. Like, you know, you did your best, everyone decided, and that's what happened. But I found, at least, like, I find it so hard to decide that something isn't right when there's, you know, there's always so many good things about it. It's just not quite, for whatever reason, it's just not quite right. And it's just the time that it takes to decide. That's what that song is about. It's like, okay, maybe I'll leave today. It's like all these reasons for leaving, and still you're going, yeah, maybe I'll leave today. Yeah, maybe. Like, come on, leave.
It's a damn great title, by the way, for a song, I have to say.
Thank you. It's appropriate, isn't it?
It really is. You know, I want to know more about the album, like, in terms of, like, you know, where was the majority of it made, and how long did it take to write and record all these tracks?
So it was, almost all of it was recorded in Devon at this beautiful studio called Deep Litter, which is at the end of a peninsula, set in this beautiful farm, which is the last building that you get to before the lighthouse. It's surrounded by water on two sides, and it's just a really old barn that's been converted into a studio by this lovely guy called Fred Ansell. And I've recorded my last two EPs there, working with Chris Bond and his brother, Andrew Bond. And I just love it there. It feels like home away from home. It's got so much vibe, and everything sounds really beautiful. There's loads of instruments, like loads of amps and guitars and Hammond and all the percussion you could ever want. It's just such a warm and inviting place to record. It's also about 40 minutes away from, like, where you'd stay. So you have, like, a 40-minute drive in the morning and back last thing at night through all these tiny country roads, and there's no signal, and there never used to be any Wi-Fi. So you're just in the middle of nowhere, basically, and you just create. And that's brilliant. The brothers that I worked with, I think they're incredible. Incredible, like, producer, engineer, assistant producer, and both of them incredible musicians. Some of the stuff that we used, actually, in the end, was originally in the demos that I brought to the studio, which I just recorded kind of my home mobile kit. Things like guitars and BVs and some like synth string lines and random things that I'd been experimenting with that just really worked, that we put into the final things, which is cool. And then there was one song, the very last one on the record, that we'd done everything in the studio that we could, and we'd definitely like run out of time and money and everything. But I knew that it needed something else, and I really wanted it to have something more stripped back. So there's a last, very last song on there, which I recorded with Andrew Bearbond at his studio in Tottenham, in London, just to make sure that it had that extra 10th song which it needed.
Yeah, that's mega. And God, it's great to, like, just hearing you talk about that the way you did just now. It's beautiful to know that that's an experience you're always going to be able to go back to, that you could always revisit and remember, like, the smells and just, like, the way you would wake up. Like, it's clear, like, that was a very lived-in experience that you could always go back to.
Yeah, it's a real, like, it's almost a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
But I really have loved it there.
You know, the way I even found out about your music is due to my good friend Ali of Beatnik. And, like, okay. I've known him for years, and he told me about your music when I met him a couple years back. And, you know, I know he's, like, a very important person for you, like, I don't, you know, it's funny, I don't think you ever told me about how you two met.
We met in Shoreditch in a little underground venue at a gig that I was playing, put on by this guy Stevie, who was in another band that he was managing at the time called Mount Wolf. And I was doing one of my first ever sets on electric guitar, I think, and he was just in the crowd, I think, hanging out, and he came up to me after and he said, I really loved that. And I gave him a CD of this, like, EP that I had made myself at the time. And, yeah, he loved it, and we talked. I played him some new music, and we just, like, he's a good man. We got on really well and decided to work together, and the rest is history.
It's amazing. And, like, You know, something that he has always been so prominent whenever he's talked to me about you is just how much he believes in not just in you, what you do creatively, but you as a person as well. And like, I just want to say, I think it's very beautiful that there's that distinction. Like, obviously your craft is a reflection of you, but it is amazing that like who you are as a person is just as important as what you do creatively to him. Like,
that's nice. Yeah, I think we have a real like mutual respect. Ultimately, I think we trust each other, and you know, I'm sure we both have our failings, but we both really believe in each other as well. Mush. Yeah, which is how I think we've lasted so long, basically.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm really glad I got the chance to chat with you. Before I let you go, I'd really love to hear about what's a track off the album that's yet to be released that you really want people to hear. Like, and I know there always is one, so like, what do you think it is?
Okay, that's interesting, because there are, for me it's a real mix of like darkness and light, and most of the stuff that's come out so far is the darker stuff. So I think there is one track which is completely different, which I think I would like everyone to hear. I reckon everyone's probably going to hate it, but but who knows? It's kind of a like crazy, upbeat, surfy, but poppy, slightly mad track called Daydreaming.
Nice one. Yeah. I can't wait to hear it. Man, you really do need to make it to the States to play a show, yeah? Or a couple shows.
Oh my god. Yeah, I hope so. Very soon.
Yeah. Well, Eliza, thanks for chatting with me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Lovely to speak to you. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for your time. And hopefully I'll see you soon. Okay.